This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So I had made some notes here about gestation periods. Isn't that a lovely word? We hear a lot today in our gospel about being born from above, being born of water and the Spirit. And of course, Nicodemus, even as wise as he is with his knowledge of faith and tradition, he's having a hard time understanding and imagining what this could possibly mean. And so I started to do a little research, and I was curious, what is the longest time, what mammal has the longest period where it carries the baby in its womb? Any guesses? All good guesses, yes, the elephant. 18 to 22 months. Now, those of you who have born children, imagine. 18 to 22 months, almost 2 years of creating a safe place for an elephant to grow, for it to begin to learn, have all the things it needs to survive on the outside. Manatees, 13 months. Camels, 13 to 15 months. And I love how there's a difference there. It depends on what time of year that they're pregnant. Sometimes it can take 13 months, sometimes it can take 15, which is also the same as 400 or 460 days. Like when we start to think days, that's a lot of days. And dolphins, 17 months. So as I started to think about how long it takes, you know, as humans, it's around 9 months, right? That the mother carries a child in the womb. It's around 9 months where the child has what it needs physically to be able to survive on the outside. But once it gets on the outside into the world, this is why I still say babies scream. Not only do they need air, but they're like, what in the world has happened? They still need tending, love and care, affection, food, shelter. So today when we hear Jesus talking to Nicodemus, just to set the stage a little bit, Nicodemus is sympathetic, right? Right away we hear that he knows the things that have been going on. He hears the stories of the healings that Jesus has done, that what he's been teaching his disciples. And Nicodemus is sort of at the higher order of his faith and religion. He's a Pharisee. He has a leadership role in his community. I imagine he was fairly self-confident. People with questions go to him for answers. And clearly, because he is curious about this man, Jesus, he is spiritually open, not confined necessarily to the law and the rules, spiritually curious and open about who this man Jesus is and the many stories that he has seen. But yet Nicodemus is also rational. But he's not shy about approaching Jesus directly. And he is committed and curious enough that he actually makes an appointment. It wasn't a haphazard run into on the street. Can I talk to you for a minute? He was intentional. He wanted to see Jesus face to face. But at the same time, Nicodemus was not ready to go public with his curiosity. He was not ready to let others know of his interest in this man, Jesus. So he makes an appointment to meet in the middle of the night. See, by meeting in the night, this way he can keep his curiosity, he can keep his faith, he can keep that thing that's being stirred up in him to ask these questions, he can keep them still a secret. No one else has to know. So he can keep his faith, his spiritual aliveness and curiosity separate from the rest of his life. I came across someone who called this, when we are Christians who want to keep our faith and our spirituality and our life and our curiosity about what God can do in our life, but yet we keep it private and we don't share. We don't want others to know that we're a Christian. She referred to them as Nicodemus-like Christians. You see, he's been caught by the imagination of Jesus, but he wants to compartmentalize what he already understands and knows and the way he is perceived in his culture and society. He wants to compartmentalize that while exploring this imagination and curiosity. Nicodemus is still in the dark, and Jesus is trying to invite him into the light of day. And part of it is because Nicodemus is not ready to declare this faith. He even says, you could not do these things unless God was with you and in you. He knows in his heart that something is happening here in this man named Jesus. But he's not ready to declare it out in the world because he's not ready to actually let it change his life. Once we've been exposed, we can't go back into hiding. Now, one might argue that, well, isn't this kind of faith, keeping it in secret, very private, isn't exactly what the scripture we heard several weeks ago where Jesus says, when you pray, go into a room and shut the door and don't let others see you. Don't shout on the street corners. But I think what the difference here is that this is something more. That this kind of faith that Jesus is saying, when you step out of the darkness and into the life, this kind of faith, now Nicodemus, he was genuine and heartfelt and personal. And those of us who keep our faith secret and hidden and invisible to the world doesn't mean we're not genuine and heartfelt and personal and have a deep committed faith. The point is not that a faith in secret is faulty. But what Jesus is saying is that way of being is too small. It's too small. Jesus is suggesting that Nicodemus's faith is incomplete, perhaps even immature. And so he likens this midnight encounter with Nicodemus to a child. An infant that is safe in its mother's womb. Now, some of us may be comfortable staying in the womb for 18 to 22 months. And it's not so much a commandment that Jesus gives that you must be born from above, but rather an invitation. An invitation to step out into the light. That when you are embraced with water and spirit, this beautiful word in Hebrew, ruach, he is asking, when you are embraced with water and spirit, then that, my friends, is when you are letting God begin to do the work in your life. An invitation to open our imaginations as to what that might look like, recognizing that it might not look like the life that we have and that it may turn it upside down. An invitation to reconsider what our relationship with God actually looks like. Jesus invites Nicodemus as he invites each of us to come into the light, to become mature believers. And Jesus knows none of us can do this on our own. And that is when God will give us spirit. I remember when I was pregnant with our first child, right? You have a date, and it seems so far away, and then the thing takes over, and you can't wait for it to be done. This is why we only had two kids. I did not like something taking over my body. And I remember, as you do, you've heard all the old wives' tales, you know, go for a walk, eat this herb, drink this special drink, and cause it to happen. And the truth is, the child comes when the child is ready to come. But I remember I would go for a walk around the block and carrying, you know, it's just this big giant rock that's sitting there, trying to make it hurry along. Sometimes I wonder if that's what God wants from us. That when we hear scripture and we pray, that God is taking a walk with us in the womb, trying to get us to hurry along, to step outside, to not be afraid of our faith, that God will give us everything we need to encounter the world. That God gets impatient and wants to get on with making us mature believers in Jesus Christ. That God wants us to grow into a fullness of life, because it's only when we proclaim our faith through our life and our words and our actions to those we love, to those we encounter, when we embrace it and say, this is why this matters to me. This is why I am here on a beautiful Sunday morning. There is something here, and maybe we can't name it or explain it, but God says it's time to step out and get comfortable to tell someone else, to invite someone else. Come and see. We will meet Nicodemus again later in John chapter 7. Nicodemus will appear in attempt to intercede for Jesus with the other Pharisees, stepping out into life, making himself vulnerable in front of those of his faith and tradition. And then we'll meet and see Nicodemus again in John chapter 19, when he brings spices and oils to bury the body of Jesus Christ. Jesus says we're kind of stuck understanding God according to earthly things, earthly rules, earthly regulations, what's proper society, what's just a step too far when we talk about our beliefs. But trying to keep faith in its own sphere, separate from our earthly life, trying to keep our faith of understanding or wanting to understanding or this desire to understand what it means to be citizens of another kingdom, the kingdom of God, trying to keep that separate from our earthly things, Jesus says it doesn't work. So my friends, as I think about the week ahead, I invite you to just try, or not, what would it look like for you to mention to someone in your life about why you are a member of St. John's, about what it is that God has done in your life to call you to continue to engage. What would it look like to sell someone, I am a Christian, I believe in Jesus Christ, I want to follow his way? So as the question that Jesus presents to Nicodemus, the question for all of us truly is, the reason we are born is because there is no longer room for us to grow in the womb. We are invited to step out into a scary and dark world, and Jesus says, come with me and I will bring you to the light. So my friends, who among us has room? Who among us has room to grow? Who among us has room to grow more fully into a life in Jesus Christ?
Amen.